Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, I'm sure you know that carrying out energy home upgrades or doing a retrofit, while they can be really beneficial, they can be daunting and they can be expensive, and there are grants available to help you. So here to share advice about how to navigate the whole process, we've Ciarán Byrne, who's Director of National Retrofit with the SEAI, and Brian McIntyre, who's Programme Manager with the SEAI. And you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us again today. People are sending in their questions still. 0870 32 32 32 is the WhatsApp number. Now, we're coming into the winter. It's getting colder. People are noticing it, I'd say, even over the last week or so. And there are a couple of simple things that you can do without going near a professional to make your home warmer. So you might just run us through what they are first.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. And good morning to your listeners. And it's great to be back with you. You're right, it's getting colder. So the simple things homeowners can do is things like draft strips, fitting draft strips, which are fairly inexpensive and accessible and available in pretty much every hardware store. The other thing you can do, if you have a chimney that's not blocked up, you can get a thing called a chimney balloon, which is actually just to literally block the chimney up, because depending on which way your house is situated, you can get a fearsome draft coming down chimneys. The foil back at the back of the radiator is also kind of sometimes recommended in terms of conducting heat outwards from radiators. And things as well, if you're kind of more involved in sewing and things like that, you can talk about terminally lined curtains as well. So because you talk about a lot of homes, they would have large panes of glass at the back, typically the back door, large pane of glass, you put a curtain over that, it stops the heat kind of conducting outwards in the winter time of the evening, the colder evenings. So they're all very straightforward and simple
basic
things you can
things.
Do. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we have so many questions that have come in, so I think we'll get to them. So this listener says, my house has two parts. One part of it is a protected structure, a cottage. The other is a regular modern bungalow, both connected by a small corridor. Is the bungalow entitled to an SEIA grant for cavity wall insulation? Now, there's more to that question, but we might take that bit first. So the bungalow is the new bit.
Yeah. Typically, we would look for a whole house solution to get all the walls done, because if you insulate a part of it, then you're just, the heat is going to be kept in there but lose out to the colder part.
Right.
But there is an option. We have a new pilot for traditional buildings, which would allow for the protected structure to be potentially upgraded as well, as alongside the cavity walls.
So would that be treated as a protected structure for SEAI purposes, the whole lot of it, even though part of it is relatively new?
It could be two different solutions. So you'd have a joint, so the whole building would be insulated, but you would have different solutions for protected part and the new part.
Okay, now a service provider, they say, has told us as it's not attached to the protected structure, it is treated or it is eligible for the cavity wall insulation, but the protected structure wouldn't have any insulation or work done on it at all.
I'd say that could be a very specific one. So to contact the help desk at info@sei.ie with more details. So we can just see, maybe some pictures might help to get some
digging into that.
So they need to
ask you
whether
that is covered or not. Is there any point, says this listener, in installing a heat pump with a BER rating of D1?
That's one I'd say to get a technical assessment, because they need to get a handle on how much heat is lost from the house, because it could be D1 purely because if it got a really poor heating system in place and it's dragging down the rating. So I'd say to get a technical assessment to get the level of heat loss. It's potentially on the cusp of getting a suitable free heat pump, but just to check.
Right.
The first instance.
Off the top of your head, I mean, are there certain properties where a heat pump just won't work?
Technically speaking, you put a heat pump in any property. You can put a heat pump in a tent and it'll work. But from a homeowner's perspective, what you're looking for is what they call the heat loss indicator. So notice, and a kind of rule of thumb is, if you put the heat on of an evening time, you come down the following morning and it's still reasonably warm, then your home is probably suitable for a heat pump. Some of the more historic buildings, you know, kind of Georgian buildings, what you'll find is technically the heat pump will work, but in terms of operation from a homeowner, the cost may be excessive to run it.
Right, so it's flowing out of the house through various means, because that same listener wants to know if sash windows, if they can ever be energy efficient.
That would be one, just in case they are protected by the planning authorities in terms of being an older protected windows. But you can upgrade them. You can replace the glass and kind of vacuum glazing to replace the original kind of single glaze panes.
Right.
So you can definitely upgrade them significantly.
Okay, Kieran, did you want to come in on that?
No, no, I just saying that there is this piece around the sash windows that, you know, there is new technologies coming forth, but that they're mostly where you have homes with sash windows, you're looking at possibly interacting with the planning authorities and the kind of conservation status and things like
right,
that.
Right, because they may be part of a protected structure. This listener has a 1970s attic conversion in my house. It has poor insulation. It's very drafty with air circulation through the eaves. I have quotes for insulation using spray foam, but I understand that there may be issues about a build-up of moisture and eventual decay of the timbers in the roof. Oh, this was in the news recently, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they want to know if you recommend this type of insulation. How should it be done to ensure its effectiveness and that it doesn't cause long-term damage to the building structure?
So the key to this particular type of insulation is making sure that the provider has the appropriate agreement cert. And the certification basically says what we're going to do and how we're going to apply it. It was in the news recently, mostly in the UK, where there was kind of cowboy guys going in and just spraying the insulation directly onto the rafters and leaving no room for ventilation behind it for the air to the house effectively breathe. So what they would typically do between the rafters, you get kind of a cardboard layer, a breathable layer between where the foam is going to go and the actual roof surface, and that allows that to happen. So when we grant aid it, all right, and we ensure that the providers are registered and have the agreement certification to make sure that they're doing it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So for the homeowner's point of view, make sure to get a copy of the agreement cert, speak to the guy who's going to provide it to you and ensure that they're doing it the right way.
So what kind of harm can happen if you're spraying it directly onto the rafter?
Effectively, it doesn't allow the home to breathe, and you end up with rye rot and things like that over a period of time. And the issue really comes not today or tomorrow or the next day. It could be years down the line. So the homeowner will look at it. It'll be insulated. It'll look fantastic. The provider will be long gone, as happened in the UK. And it's years later you realise there can be damage to the rafters.
Right. I suppose that's a reason not to go and do it yourself either.
Yeah. It's older homes like that have the felt. So if the warm air comes through the spray foam and hits a cold felt, you get condensation. So that can sit on the rafters and cause structural issues then.
Right, okay. That answers that one. Which is a more effective method of insulation, to wrap the outside of the house in insulation or to put the insulation into the cavities? So do you wrap or do you put it inside?
Technically, I think the wrap probably have a better thermal improvement for the homeowner, but there's quite a considerable difference on the costings, because it depends on the width of the cavity. And we only started cavity wall construction as a kind of a common thing around the 80s, and they started with smaller cavities and got bigger, and we filled them all. So the cheaper thing to do would be to do the cavity. The slightly better thing to do is probably to do the wrap, but there is a considerable difference in price between those two.
Right. What sort of difference? In percentage terms, would you know off the top of your head?
I'll tell you now. The median cost for cavity insulation for the detached home in our scheme is about €2,250, and a fixed grant of €1,700. The median cost for detached home for external wall insulation is about €23,000, and the grant for €8,000.
So the grant is €8,000 for that, but the cost is €23,000. Yeah, and is it very disruptive to do the external wrap?
Not particularly for the homeowner. It just takes a bit of time, you know, but they will have to scaffold up typically for housing and things like that. So they don't have to move out or anything like that. It's just the house doesn't look that
And Brian, what's your view on it then? And in terms of disruption and cost from specifically with the cavity insulation, that's not disruptive, or is it?
No, it should be done in a couple of hours. Like, you're just drilling a series of holes, a defined template that you're spraying, make sure that it's going above windows, below windows, and that you're filling the wall. With the limitation with cavity walls, you're limited by the depth of the cavity and what's there already, because like older homes maybe from the 90s where I've seen like airboard, the polystyrene might have just been dropped in, so it's kind of blocking to a certain degree.
Right.
It should be fine. Like, if it's done well, it's perfectly good insulation, but you're limited by the cavity that's there, whereas external insulation, you have more scope to make it a thicker layer and you're wrapping the whole house as well.
But if you have a red brick house, you're not going to be able to put the external wrap on, right? Or can you?
You can get brick slips that you can put on the outside to kind of recreate that red brick effect. But it depends how old the house is as well. If it's
right.
an older, like a...
Which you can mirror the original finish.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you have a protected structure, obviously
you
can't do that. Okay, grant qualification is the next one. So this person is restoring or rebuilding an old vernacular cottage, and I'm wondering if I qualify for window and insulation grants. The contractor isn't registered for the deep retrofit grants, but I'm hoping that there's some way I can apply, because the sash windows all need replacing and are proving very expensive, likewise for the roof.
Okay, I think this one's probably a candidate for the pilot scheme we're about to launch in relation to historic and traditional buildings. So we're about to, I think today we're going to launch it.
Yep.
The pilot scheme, exactly that, is the pilot scheme. So we'll take a small number of homes and we'll test different kind of conditions and different treatments on them with a view to learning from it and then rolling it out en masse. It's an old cottage and you're talking about replacing the roof and windows, and you're talking about sash windows. So again, you might be bumping up against planning and things like that. And also we'll be looking at what is available as a whole house solution when you're talking about sash windows and things like that, because we just talked a moment moment ago that sometimes there's not a whole lot you can do with them.
Yeah.
So I think this one would probably be the pilot scheme. We'd be directing the listener towards the pilot
scheme. Well, now you'll have people clamoring to get on the pilot scheme. How do you do it?
Well,
Contact a one-stop shop and they'll help you out. Because the first point with any traditional building, whether you're going through a grant or not, is to get someone that works in kind of conservation, like a conservation architect or surveyor or engineer, to look at the house. Because how you would insulate a traditional building or protected structure is very different to how you do a normal house, because there's issues around the type of construction. So you get they'd have to look at the building first and see what are the solutions, and the one-stop shop will then, it'll be delivered through the one-stop shop mechanism.
Right. Is it a small pilot though? Are there very few houses that you're looking at?
Well, it'll be relatively small at this point in time, but we want to build it out.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of to learn to see how we roll it out then.
Okay. Now, we have a retired couple next living in a 1,700 square foot bungalow. It's under 30 years old. Downsizing is not an option. We want to consider a retrofit. We have had solar panels for 3 years. They're proving to be very beneficial. However, to do air to water, we need to insulate our floor. They have 1,700 square feet of wooden suspended floors. We've been advised to take all that up and put in underfloor heating. That would be a major job in our eyes. Our walls are pumped. The attic is well insulated. We rely on an oil-fired stove and a three-year-old condenser boiler. What should we do to be more sustainable?
Well,
I'd be curious about that, because it's one of those things where heat pumps that people are advised that you need to have underfloor heating to get them working efficiently, which just isn't true. The vast majority of retrofits are worked at radiators or heat pumps, and they're very efficient. An underfloor heating system will be a little bit more efficient again, but absolutely, like a lot of the works that we see are retrofits with radiators. So I don't know, is that advice purely because someone thought you need to have a heat pump with underfloor heating? But if it's less than 30 years old, I think the heat loss could actually be fine if it's pumped, the walls in the attic as well insulated.
Right.
So again, I'd get a technical assessment to see if the house does need to get that work done.
Maybe get a second opinion then on that one, is what you're recommending. You know, Ciarán, it might be worth, just as we come to the end, running us through the grants that are available so that people can be clear in their minds as to what is out there for them.
Yeah, there's not a problem. So first of all, I direct people to our website. So what we have on the website is effectively a menu-based approach for the grants. And we have grants available for, first of all, the heat pump, which we're really pushing hard to kind of get people to change the heat pumps. We've got air to water, air to air. We've got a range of grants for insulation. So for we talk, and insulation basically comes in four parts. One is your roof, and then you've got the external part of the wall, it's called external wall insulation. The cavity, if you have a cavity between the leaf block, so cavity insulation, and then internal wall insulation. We have grants available then for floor insulation, solar hot water, and solar PV. And again, if you look on the, if you're doing the whole job in the one-stop shop program, there's more items on that menu if you want. Whereas if you're doing the individual measures program, there's slightly lesser items on the menu.
Okay, well, it's worth going to the SEAI website to check all of that out. We'll have you back again. We always get so many questions for you when you come in. Ciarán Byrne and Brian McIntyre from the SEAI. We have to take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.